Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning. We'll be joined by Predators General Manager David Poile coming up at 8:30. Preds back in action tonight. Big win last night against Calgary. They'll take on Columbus tonight at Bridgestone Arena. So looking forward to that conversation with David Poile later this hour at 8:30. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Andrew from Dover on the text line says, if talking about years to go for it, I'd rather sign Tannehill again or get Rodgers over Brady, because if you take Brady, you get 1 year at the most. This from Andrew from Dover on the text line. Now, I've heard people bring this up. Joe, I think you brought it up earlier in the show. Like, I'm not giving Ryan Tannehill a contract extension. That's not even entering my mind if I'm the Tennessee Titans. People may disagree with that. That's fine. That is not even something I'm thinking about if I'm the Tennessee Titans.
So let's go back to what Caroline was saying earlier, the difference between a Brady's a go for it and a Tannehill Henry is a, I guess, like placeholding. But again, like, I don't look at it that way. I look at it like in either case, it's a go for it. Can you successfully go for it? I think in either case, there's a whole bunch of proven to be done. Dennis, you said in the text line, people keep talking about Brady coming behind this bad offensive line, but it's going to be a new offensive line. I said, that's true. But when you have that many positions to address, like, there just isn't a lot to point to right now with what's coming back to feel good about. Right. So yeah. That's just a tall task to fix that in one offseason. It's possible they have done it one time in 2016, but that doesn't mean you can do it every time you need to rebuild an offensive line. They got a great first-round pick who was an all-pro. They signed Ben Jones, great signing. And then Taylor Lewan turned from an underwhelming player into a great left tackle that year. But people didn't know that was going to happen. I mean, so that was kind of lightning in a bottle. To me, I'm with you. Like, it's a go-for year. If you look at Tannehill and Henry as, just bring them back and, yeah, let's have a year of football and whatever, see if we can be okay. Then I say, screw it, man. Trade up and go get a quarterback now, Like either scenario, any veteran, and you can talk – if you want to talk about Carr and Garoppolo or whatever, I don't think there's any validity to that. But any decision like that at quarterback – so Tannehill coming back, Brady, any of the other veterans, to me, that's go for it. That's, we can fix receiver and offensive line and be healthy and get good luck, and we can be right back in the mix in the AFC. And right now in January, have a shot to be winning games. If you don't think that, then do not do that. Then you need to figure out your quarterback of the future.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me to go – that route if you're not trying to win. So I also just, the Brady part of this, and LD from McMinnville on the text line asking, like, what's the difference between Tannehill and Brady at this point, given their age? I mean, I'm not saying it's not a fair question, right? Because he will be 46 coming up in August. And Joe, to your point, even Tom Brady at some point is not going to have the fastball and he's not going to be as good and it's going to be time to hang it up. And maybe he's there right now. I don't know. I do know that we had similar conversations in 2019, and all of a sudden he turned around and was absolutely phenomenal 2 years in a row in Tampa Bay and not as good this year. Now, can he do that again? It is 3 years later. That makes a big difference. I'm not saying that he absolutely will do it again. I'm saying I'm not anywhere near close enough to counting it out of the realm of possibility that he can figure things out and with a better situation – looks pretty darn good and looks more like Tom Brady next year. If you go that route, it's a gamble you have to be willing to take. Are the Titans willing to take it? I don't know. It could blow up right in their face. Like, whoever signs Tom Brady, whether it's the Titans, whether he goes back to Tampa Bay, whether he ends up with the Raiders, like, you could get through October of next year and think to yourself, oh boy, we made a big mistake because he just doesn't have it anymore. That absolutely could happen. That's a calculated risk you've got to take. I've just seen that guy figure it out too many times for me to just totally dismiss the fact that he couldn't do it again.
Yeah, look, if he actually wanted to come to the Titans, and he was, and that does, by the way, it's tough because in this particular year, the free agency crop of receivers is bad. But like, that's also like with Brady, you're like, okay, and you know he's going to bring somebody. I mean, hopefully someone
Bring Julio.
with fewer issues than Antonio Brown. Yeah, there you go. Bring Julio. Julio had a nice TD catch last night, by the way. But like, he, of course, he's got that Pied Piper thing too. So if he wanted in, and if he's like, this is where I want to try to go for it again, I think you'd have to take the gamble. I just think that you may be doing exactly as you said, looking at like, oh, well, yeah, you know, I gave it a shot, but man, he's just not that guy anymore.
Sell a lot of
I
jerseys.
think he would sell out jerseys. So, I mean, hey, they would pack that place to watch Tom Brady, I believe, right? I mean, now if they're 2-7, maybe they stop packing the place. But it would be a huge buzz, and there would be more attention for the Tennessee Titans than they've ever had in their time in Nashville. It would be worth the gamble. Again, we keep going around and around with this argument to the point of, I don't think that he will look at this as the place, but certainly, he and Mike Vrabel have been close friends for a long, long time, so they can talk through things. And I guess, you know, he can have confidence that Vrabel is the guy who's going to have a lot of say in what they do with personnel. As that's one way this situation is different now than it was 3 years ago, right?
Yeah. Terry from Clarksville on the text line says, I think your quarterback of the future you'll get next year when the draft looks a lot better. And I hear that, but
What if you're good?
yeah, you also got to be bad, right? Like, I mean, you can find quarterbacks later in the first round, or I mean, you can find quarterbacks in the third round. Brock Purdy may win the Super Bowl this year, and he's the last pick in the draft. So I'm not saying you can't find quarterbacks, but if you're going to get one of the guys that makes the quarterback draft class quote unquote better next year, you're going to have to be at the top of the draft to do it. And if you're bringing Tannehill and Henry back, you're not going to be at the top of the draft. You're just not.
Right. I mean, there are a lot of intriguing prospects, but I think Caleb Williams and Drake May are the two right now going into next college football season. I think the very likely top two picks in the draft. So how are you going to get there? Right now you're sitting at 11. Stroud just announced. Michelle, you got me all excited that Stroud was staying at Ohio State yesterday. But no,
I
I mean,
know, me
There
too.
was some weird buzz about that yesterday, but Stroud's in, and Young's in, and Levis is in, and you got other guys that, you know, Hendon Hooker and others who would be lower. I mean, at 11, you can actually, like, you are close enough to where, I mean, it's still going to cost you to move up into the territory to take one of those guys. But if you believe one of those guys is attainable and is your guy, do it.
Jonathan on the text line says, how do we feel about getting Rodgers? We're going to get that question a lot. I get it. It's borderline impossible when you look at the numbers. Number one, they're not going to trade him. Like it's not going to happen. He's either going to be playing for the Packers next year or he's not going to be playing. I mean, they haven't come out and outright said this, but the general manager came on the record the other day and said, yeah, Aaron Rodgers gives us a better chance to win than Jordan Love does, which I think is duh, but it doesn't sound like they have any plans of, yeah, we're turning the keys over to Jordan Love by their own voluntary plans next year. Now, if Rodgers demands a trade, then maybe, but he's not going to do that. Like, Aaron Rodgers is not going to the Titans.
Yeah. And that, to me, if that were feasible, you know, that in my opinion is different than Brady, because I still think Aaron Rodgers, and he's several years younger, but I just think he's much closer to his prime as a player than Brady is.
I mean, it's only $99 million in dead money for the Packers next year. They cut him.
What's the dead money on trading him?
I don't know.
It's still,
It's still
I mean,
astronomical.
it's still big. Yeah.
Be a whole lot. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, if the text line will pull up. Caleb on the text line says, what could we get for Derrick Henry right now? I don't think very much. What'd
I
you say,
say a
fourth
fifth
rounder?
round pick.
Okay, fifth
I
round.
think I think a fourth rounder would be a good outcome. I would guess a fifth rounder, but maybe you could get a fourth rounder.
We'll get to more of your
Now,
thoughts. Go ahead.
I was going to say, now Derrick Henry picks another veteran, whatever. Like, could he be part of something to move up to get a quarterback in this draft? Yeah, I think potentially.
Could be. We'll get to more of your thoughts on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. A lot more to get to. Take your thoughts on our phone line as well, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We'll have Predators General Manager David Poyle coming up here in just a few minutes at 8:30. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coy in Clarksville says trade Derrick Henry in a third round pick to LA for Jalen Ramsey. We've begun that time of the year with offseason speculation. Gotta love it.
Ooh.
David on the text line says, what were the differences in stats between Brady and Tannehill this year? Excuse me, this is David from Nolensville. Well, look, Brady's stats, he threw for 2,200 more yards. He threw for 12 more touchdowns. He also played the whole year. And I'm looking at some quick math here. Brady threw the ball 733 times this year, which, by the way, is just an astronomical number. 733 times, and I would be surprised if Ryan Tannehill even approached 400. Let's see what he ended up with. He ended up with 325 attempts.
Look at you, Rob. Nice guess.
You're talking about 400 more attempts than Tom Brady had this year, and his yards per play was not very good.
Yeah, someone tweeted at us earlier, like, you know, he had the greatest season that any better than any Titan ever. I'm like, you're looking at accumulation of passing yardage. All he did was throw. He threw 66 times. As I know, it's not his fault. Their offensive line was bad. They had injuries, and they had no running game. But also, like, they were bad, and he was behind. And, yes, there were many empty calories for Tom Brady throwing the ball this year. Again, I'm not saying he was like, bad all year or whatever. I mean, he had some tremendous performances, some tremendous comebacks. So don't get me wrong, but it's hard to compare because, again, there are a lot of games they were behind, and he's getting quick access throws down the field. You know, the teams are trying to make him just take time to move it down the field. So, I mean, you have to keep that in mind. The 6.4 yards per attempt is a bad number.
I got a text that says, give me Brady, Hopkins, a guard in free agency, Peter Skoronski, and Downs or Hyatt if we're generally going all in. This is from Jake and Greenbrier on the text line. Hey, there's a path.
Super Bowl. Win it. That team is winning it all. Hey, real quick, just on another topic, because I was wrong earlier, and someone pointed out on the text line, I said Isaiah Wilson was a consensus first-round pick. That's not true. He was considered a fringe. I mean, they were like, I just went back and actually looked at some things. Like, I think it was Matt Miller said, like, immediate starter, Pro Bowl potential. There were people who were high on him, but like Dane Brugler had him going in the second round to the Rams, so 57th overall. So it was a bit of a reach football wise where the Titans took him, but. You know, like, for example, I'm going to read Brugler here. He said, quote, some teams think he'll be a first-round pick. Others think he'll fall outside the top 50. And he had him at 57. So, like, he was still obviously a first- or second-round pick. But I was wrong when I said consensus first-round pick. So I apologize.
Got to be better. Got to be better, Rex Rubb.
I know. I want to be truth and honesty, just like Jared said.
That's right. Truth and honesty. So, look, we're going to have, obviously, with the Bucs being eliminated last night, it's going to be an offseason worth of discussion about what's Brady's next move going to be. Is the Titans something that he – are the Titans really something that he's considering? And if not, what do the Titans do? I still think the most likely scenario is Tannehill and Henry are coming back next year, and that's going to be your quarterback running back duo. But if you could go, if you had a legitimate chance to get Brady, would you consider it? I think I would describe the text line today as kind of mixed on that. So I'm interested to see how that develops as we continue to move along here. Joe, real quickly, as we get into the next few minutes here before David Poyle coming up at 8:30. As you look at the Titans, and we'll just keep it to the offensive side of the ball, who do you think should get new deals? Who should be back for the Titans? As we talk about what's the path going to look like and the offensive line and whether it's Brady, Tannehill, or who else at quarterback, the receiving core, who do you think should be back for the Titans next year? And I want to start at tight end with Austin Hooper, because the first part of the season, not much from Hooper. I think he did grow in his role as the season went along there. Do you think Hooper should be someone the Titans entertain bringing back? And how much do you think that could be, I guess, how financially committed do you think you have to be to Austin Hooper after the year he had here?
Well, why aren't you taking credit for Austin Hooper's turnaround? You gave up on him, and immediately he listened to you, and he got angry, and he started performing.
I'm just saying, if there are negotiations that need to be had, I feel like that needs to be brought up with me.
I think so. Yeah. I think you deserve a little kickback. It's like a finder's fee.
Did that. Turned Princeton fan at Tennessee into Mr. Touchdown. It was good stuff.
Yes, that's right. Well, you really piss off these tight ends. Yeah, I would bring him back. I would be interested in Hooper. I really like how things turned out down the stretch with him. I think I would not bring Robert Woods back. I think I'm moving on there and saving some money. So that means cutting him. You know, Hooper was a 1-year deal. Woods, I believe, was a 2-year deal, not a 3, right? It was a 2, I think.
I think Hooper was a 1-year deal. Or Woods was a 2-year deal. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Woods 2-year deal. Yep. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, Robert Woods has a cap number of 14.6. And your dead money is 2.5. I think you have to move on. Obviously, there's some obvious ones, like the big ones are like they're cutting Lawan. I'm still absolutely in favor of going back to him and just kicking the tires on one more run. If you're bringing Tannehill and Henry back, and look, ultimately, forced me to choose. I'm not like 100% sold on it. Like it's absolutely the way to go, but I'd lean that way. I think the big question for me on the offense is Nate Davis.
Yeah.
Like you can't expect to just have all new people at all these different spots on the O-line and just think you're going to hit on all of them. Right. I think Nate Davis is a good player. And I think, at his best, he's a very good right guard. The injury stuff is concerning, and that's ultimately what I think has to be the guide. But right now, based on the information I have, I think I would gamble and try to re-sign him because, like, I think you need as much continuity as you can have. And if you do happen, and I'm definitely, if Ben Jones wants to keep playing, then yes. Now, does he? Should he? I don't know. Right now, his cap number for 23 is 8. This is overthecap.com, by the way. Make sure to give the credit there. His cap number is 8.3. I mean, if he can play and you go Ben Jones, you re-sign Nate Davis, and Petit Frere's just got to work his butt off this offseason and be a better player. Then, you know, okay. Now you have the other side to figure out. And you may be okay at center with Aaron Brewer if that's the way you go, but I don't think you want him at left guard. You need to be upgraded there. And obviously, you know, left tackle, you're going to have to address left tackle even if Lawan does want to come back.
I agree. And, like, to that point, if you're addressing left tackle, and I've thought about this because I'm with you, I would consider, if Taylor Lawan is open to it, I would consider maybe bringing him back on a much cheaper deal for 1 year. But if you're drafting a tackle with your first round pick, like, isn't he going to play for you? Like, does Taylor DeWine, if you bring him back, maybe make you not draft a tackle with your first pick? I have no idea what the Titans are going to do with the number 11 overall pick, but you would think that there would be a good NFL ready tackle there for him at number 11 overall. Does that influence the way you think about Taylor DeWine? Could they just say, you know what, we're just going to go draft our left tackle of the future, and he's going to start from day one?
Well, maybe, but you could also now with that pick, you could take Quentin Johnston.
Yep.
And then you could get your – and you know, you're not going to get one of those top-shelf tackles, but you get another one who maybe needs a little bit more time but could at least be your swing tackle in the meantime, you know?
Yeah. It's a really interesting proposition there to see how the Titans could go about that. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll have Preds pick to click coming up at 845. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. And speaking of that, coming up next – we'll be joined by Predators General Manager David Poyle. We'll get his thoughts on the win last night, the emergence of two young guys in the lineup, and Cody Glass and Yusuf Parsonen that are playing really, really well, and more. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll be joined by Predators General Manager David Poyle coming up here in just a few minutes at 8:30. So looking forward to that conversation with him. The Predators in action last night with a 2-1 win against the Calgary Flames. Joe, it was a game where you're heading into it. You're down 7 points in the wild card race to the Flames. You needed to have it. The Predators got it last night. Two big goals in the first period, one by Roman Josi, the other by Yusuf Parsonen. That was all the offense last night for the Predators, but they hold on. I thought they defended well for the most part, and Juuse Saros, once again, was really good in net for the Nashville Predators. So a big win last night for the Preds, and they'll be back at it tonight as they take on the Columbus Blue Jackets. And to help us talk more about the Predators, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators General Manager David Poyle. David, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. Always good after a win last night. That was a real important win for us. Calgary's a little bit ahead of us in the in the standings, and it's a classic four-point game. So happy with the result. We fought real hard last night. It was really close. Those are the type of games that you're going to have to win down the stretch. I mean, a little bit like a playoff game, you know. So all good. So we go again tonight against Columbus with that makeup game. So a lot of games here in a few days.
Yeah, no question about that. So, David, we talked about this earlier on the show, but just the emergence of Cody Glass and Yusuf Parsonen. Parsonen's got points in 7 straight games. Glass playing with Forsberg and Duchesne last night. Let's start on the Parsonen front, because obviously a later draft pick for you guys. When did you know that you might have something special with Yusuf Parsonen, with the skill set and the size and the speed that he brings to the table?
Well, there's a little bit of good scouting, of course, and a little bit of luck, I guess, you know, drafting him. He was a seventh-round pick, and there's not that many seventh-round picks that made it to the National Hockey League. But he had some injuries that year, and the coverage was, you know, not probably as much as it should have been by some other clubs. But, you know, he just, you know, got, you know, bigger, stronger, I guess you'd say, filled out physically. And he really has a determination to play. And we, you know, we saw that a little bit when we brought him over to Milwaukee at the end of last year. But, you know, we really felt that he probably, you know, needs some time. But at training camp, he was just terrific. I mean, as I say, his drive, his compete, his size. I mean, he went from a boy, if you will, to a man pretty quickly. So I think, in all fairness to him, he probably was good enough to start the season, but we felt that the road to Nashville is always through Milwaukee. And, you know, with our slow start and what have you, we needed to make some changes, and we gave a young player like him a chance, and he has not disappointed. He's been really good, and the coaches are using him a lot in different situations, playing in the power play, and he gets a goal last night. So he looks like the real thing. I mean, size, strength, got the big engine. What I mean by that is that he looks like he can play a lot of minutes, which is going to be really important, you know, as he becomes a better player. But he certainly looks like a player that could fit into our top six very soon, and for sure a guy that we probably want to build around in the future.
Well, and of course, speaking of injuries, David, obviously Cody Glass, well documented, certainly a very different story, right? Very high profile player, huge expectations, injuries. And we know the story of him, you know, making the team this year and the behind the scenes, look at all that. But of course, he's had his ups and downs during the season as well. How have you seen him kind of navigate through that to the point where, You know, I thought last night that line with Glass, Forsberg, Duchesne was really good and got the better of the Huberdeau line.
Yeah, it just to me, it's sort of like the analogy between who's going to win the race, the tortoise or the hare. I mean, it's just a very slow, you know, progress. You know, it's like a step forward and a couple steps forward and a step back. And you know, earlier in the year, John Hines tried Glass higher in the lineup, and it just seemed to be too rich for him at the time. And I guess that's what I mean by a couple steps forward and one step back. But he seems to be, you know, just getting a little bit more confident. I mean, the more we play in, the more games that he gets into, getting, you know, some equal play in the power play, if you will. And now, like last night, as you said, moving up in the lineup and doing a real good job. You know, arguably one of the more important games of the year, and he was a center ice of our top line. So, really like how he's coming along. And you know, you look to the, you know, to the future, and you got two young kids now, Parson and Glass, playing at center. They both look like they have some offensive instincts, and I like that in terms of what a manager does in terms of his planning. So, just got to be, I guess, patient with Cody, and just you know, keep putting him out there and keeping him a little bit more responsibility, and hopefully he can build off of a game like last night and, you know, start, you know, getting you know, a few more points and just contributing a little bit more. But very happy with his progress.
Predators general manager David Poile with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So David, I mean, obviously after a player gets traded, there's an adjustment period that takes place for everybody, and that adjustment period is different for different people. With Ryan McDonagh and playing alongside Roman Josi over the course of the past few weeks, with the way that he's played, is this what you envision from him once you made the trade with Tampa Bay?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's our top pair now, with Josi playing over on the right side, and McDonagh's, you know, gets the tougher minutes where he doesn't play on the power play. But he gets all the penalty-killing minutes, and last night on a 5-on-3, which was certainly could have changed the game when we had two men in the penalty box there in the third period. You know, he was part of two or three guys that did a great job, and there was a couple of shot blocks that, you know, it takes talent and skill to get there, and then for sure it takes a lot of courage to get in front of somebody's slap shot. And you know, he sacrificed again last night, and one of the key reasons why we held on to that 2-1 win. So, you know, again, the bigger the games get, the better I think McDonagh plays. And, you know, all he probably cares about right now is find a way for the Preds to get to the playoffs. And let's see what can happen.
David, it's some interesting comments yesterday from John Hines talking about UC Saros and about how he has emerged and kind of improved at, you know, playing the puck. That was an offseason point of emphasis. Obviously, we all know what Pekka used to do, you know, around the net. How have you seen that evolve from him? And I guess just where do you think he is right now as a player relative to other great stretches of his career?
It's hard to think that there's anything but saying that he is having the best stretch of his career. I mean, right now he's the best goaltender in the National Hockey League. Last year he was one of three for the Vezina, which is the trophy for the best goaltender in the league, and he's playing, you know, fantastic. I mean, his quickness, I don't know, he just does something you know, better every night. And I know it's the cliche of all cliches, but talk about somebody giving you a chance to win. You know, he's been just spectacular. As you mentioned, you know, Pekka was really good, you know, handling the puck. That has not been Juice's strength, though he's been more aggressive, you know, to stop those pucks behind the net and to try to make some plays to either a defense or forwards. And, you know, that's just part of the maturity of his game and, you know, just doing those things more. But the main thing I like is he stops the puck a lot. And you can see that with his save percentage is, you know, one of the highest of all the goalies in the league now. You know, for a team that's, you know, we haven't, you know, we need to be more productive. We have to bring some more offense. And if we can get that going with Juice and net, we get a good chance to win every night.
David Poile with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Coleman Tractor in Tennessee, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. So, David, we talked to you last week about the trading deadline you know, how maybe it's too early to get an accurate sense for what exactly that's going to look like, especially with the cap situation. I am curious, though, like beyond the obvious of the wins and the losses, when you're at a spot where you guys are at the standings right now, what as a general manager are you looking at beyond the wins, beyond the points, that helps you determine the direction you're going to go once the trade deadline does come around?
Well, I think the job of the manager is obviously you have your day-to-day, preparation, goals, what you're trying to accomplish, and then that goes for specifically for this season. And then I think there's always planning for the future. I'm a guy that really likes to look at a 3 to 5 year plan in terms of, what we have, what we need, all those different situations. We just had our scouting meetings that we have. It seems like most teams have them at this time of year. It's kind of a combination on the pro side for the preparation for the trading deadline, and also for July 1st, which is free agency, and it's also for the amateurs side getting ready for the entry draft. So, with all my people, if you will, management and our scouts, I mean, we go over a lot of things like that in terms of the, carving out a specific direction of the club and what our goals are, what our needs are, all those types of things. So specifically to your beginning of your question, like when you asked last week about the trading deadline, I think that's still way too early. I mean, you're always open to doing something. And I guess if you're trying to do something, you'd like to be one of the first ones that can do that. This year is going to be difficult, like I said last year, because of how many teams are so close to the cap. And then the second thing, of course, is the parity part, where there's how many sellers are there versus how many buyers are there. And to me, it's come to the trading deadline, where are we going to be? Right now we're like 3 or 4 points behind the teams that are in the playoffs. I feel that we'll probably be 3 or 4 points in the playoffs, or maybe 3 or 4 points out of the playoffs at the trading deadline. So it's not going to be really, really a clear picture. So I think in doing this show, you probably should ask me every week that question. But I don't think there's going to be anything that's going to happen too significantly until after the All-Star break. And that's pretty soon. I mean, we got a couple of weeks here, then we go have the All-Star game, and then I think that we come back and play like February 7th. Then you have like just a little under maybe 3.5 weeks to go, and I think that's when the action will start picking up in a more serious vein.
Okay, I have another weekly question for you, David. Philip Tomasino playing well in Milwaukee. What any new thoughts on him potentially being in this lineup?
I would say that's on my mind every day, also in terms of time and the place, and good things are in my head too. If we're going to do this, I'm trying to say this in the right way, like there's some people that you call up and it's just to fill in a little bit, and then you send them back down, and it's not a thought process in terms of a full-time situation. I think in treating Phil Tomasino, when we do this, and I don't want to be totally held to what I'm going to say right now, but it would be better if we could bring him up and keep him up. That's what I would be thinking, to play him in a full-time position. And also, I'd like to play him in a higher position than where he played last year. So, he's got to keep playing well, and then we have to, commit to, being able to give him that opportunity on a more of a full-time basis. So, when that's going to happen, I'm not sure, but it's a nice player to have, if you will. When you talk about the trading deadline, why go out and acquire, say, a forward when we have a Phil Tomasino that we have to give an opportunity to?
David Poile, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Tuesday morning at 8:30. David, as you said, lots of hockey to be played. Back at it tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Appreciate you making time to join us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Predators General Manager David Poile, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. It's also that time of the day. Time for Preds Pick to Click. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scored tonight for the Predators, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll get to that coming up next. But first, Joe Rex Road has a word from our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yes, I do, because the NFL playoffs are, of course, heating up at an awesome weekend ahead, folks. And with FanDuel, every play is a rush because new customers can join today. Bet the divisional round with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. All you got to do is sign up with promo code Joe102. If I was joining FanDuel with $150 bet, this is a heck of a weekend. But I think I would like the Chiefs. I think we're gonna have three great games, and I really feel good about the Chiefs coming off their bye, playing the Jags. America's number one sportsbook has all your favorite bets from the money line, point spread, player props, scores. You can combine them also for a bigger payout with the same game parlay. It's safe, it's secure, it's easy to use. So don't miss out. $5 bet, $150 in free bets, win or lose with promo code Joe102. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Official sportsbook partner of the NFL. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is now withdrawable. Free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line, 800-889-9789.
And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds back in action tonight at home, taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. Pre-game at 6 o'clock, puck drop at 7 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. No changes in the standings yesterday. The listeners and myself still in first place with 10 correct answers apiece. Joe Rex Road with 9 correct answers, and Michelle Knezovic with 7 correct answers. So, same standings as yesterday heading into the competition tonight. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Rick. Rick, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
I've got to go with Philip Forsberg.
Going with Philip Forsberg. Rick, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
You bet.
So Rick going with Forsberg tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Joe, I am up next in the competition. And this one's tough for me. I'm going to take a little bit of a flyer, and I'm going to go Cody Glass. More of a distributor of the puck, but I'm going Cody Glass. So Forsberg and Glass off the board. Joe Rexroad, you're up next. Your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Well, by the way, if they decide that last night's Yossi goal was actually Glass, which I swear it was, but they didn't give it to him, then that doesn't count. So you don't get that. I just want that to be clear.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Right. Just absolutely.
Just check it.
I know you try to cheat a lot in this, so I just want to make sure that we have clear ground rules.
Thank you.
This is tough.
This is the part where Joe talks himself through the entire roster.
Yeah. You know, I'm gonna stay consistent. I swear he always zigs when I zag and vice versa. But I'm gonna stick with Matt Duchene. He was close last night, and you know, it's his former team. There are a lot of teams that are his former team, but this is one of his former teams.
Yeah.
And he'll get a goal against him.
There we go. So Forsberg, Glass, and Duchene off the board. Michelle Knezovic, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
The one day I'm going to pick Cody Glass, I'm like, nobody's going to pick him in my head. And then Robbie's like, yeah, I'm going to go with Cody Glass. Didn't think that one would be off the board. Okay, I'm going to go with, I think he's due for another one soon, Nino Niederreiter.
Okay, going with Nino Niederreiter tonight against Columbus. So the pick-to-click selections today, Philip Forsberg, Cody Glass, Matt Duchene, and Nino Niederreiter. Preds pick-to-click brought to you by TJ Anderson Holmes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. By the way, speaking of the Nashville Predators, I got some tickets to give away to see the Preds take on the New Jersey Devils coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, January the 26th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on Jack Hughes and the New Jersey Devils at Bridgestone Arena next Thursday, January the 26th, 615-737-1025. Preds back in action tonight, Joe. Team like Columbus, which is at the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings, need to get this one tonight, get 2 points at home. It was a great win last night for you. That's a team you're fighting with in the standings. You can't then follow that up and lose to a team you have no business losing to tonight.
Oh, no question. And you got to get back on the positive momentum side of things. I like how they played last night, you know, and I think David Poyle said it well. It was kind of like they fought really hard. They also, man, they had opportunities to open that game up, and you got to cash in more. But I thought Saros was just tremendous. I mean, the 5-on-3 that turns into a 4-on-3 with the high stick, you know, he had a flurry there where it's just like, I don't even know what's going on, but he's like, how the heck is he moving that fast? And it's just, you know, he's something to behold. But of course, tonight you go to Lankinen, who also has been very good, and just huge games coming up, huge games every other day. And it's a huge game basically after this one, but you got to pick up these 2 points that should be there for you against the Blue Jackets.
No question about it. And we'll see if the Predators can do that tonight as they take on the Columbus Blue Jackets at home. Joe, some news on the NFL front, and this coming from Tom Pelissero, the Cleveland Browns hiring Jim Schwartz as their defensive coordinator. So Jim Schwartz has been with the Titans the last couple of years as a defensive assistant. He is now going back to being a defensive coordinator in the National Football League. And according to Tom Pelissero, Cleveland, the place for him. Jim Schwartz hired as the Browns defensive coordinator.
Very interesting. So he wants back in. He got in a big way. You know, according to, I don't know if it was Pelissero, I just saw somebody, Brian Flores, among the other candidates he beat out for that job. So, I mean, that's a good job. They have a lot of talent on defense.
Yep.
They have a talented roster in general, but I know you're signing up to, you know, to go against Burrow, but it's the NFL. You're going to see somebody tough in your division, unless you happen to, you know, go to the NFC South.
May not be signing up to see Lamar. Who knows?
That's true. That's a fair point. That is true. So it'll be interesting. And of course, it's one of those things that Cleveland does great next year. And if the Titans defense falls off, then, you know, we'll go back and say, so Jim Schwartz was the secret sauce all along. I mean, the guy is very accomplished DC, and I thought he was actually a pretty good head coach. I mean, it's not his fault. I guess he didn't have to take the job with the Lions, but, you know, he was head coach of the Lions. Like, I actually thought he was a pretty good coach, and he got lionized like everybody does eventually.
Still really wish that he and Jim Harbaugh would have just squared up and just went after it at midfield that day.
Well, and, you know, and that could have happened next year in the league, but Harbaugh
it's going back.
Played it. Harbaugh played it well. It's weird because, like, apparently the AD and Harbaugh, with the AD, of course, who cut his pay down, Harbaugh, I assume, is getting all his money back now that he got docked for the 2020 season. And good for Michigan for keeping him. But I'll go back on that, by the way. There, you know, clearly, like, his agent was out there telling everybody that he was serious about taking an NFL job. I don't think that it was total BS. I mean, I know some people are going to look at this like he was just playing Michigan for more money. I think there was genuine interest in the NFL, but to the president of Michigan's credit, you pay to keep your winning football coach, and, you know, that's what you have to do.
Real quickly, we've got about a minute left. What do you make of this Lamar situation in Baltimore? There's some hurt feelings there. I think it's pretty clear. What do you make of everything that has transpired to this point and what it could mean for Lamar Jackson?
Well, he put out a post, and I don't have it in front of me, but it was sort of like, this is why you treat – Yeah, it was like a real cryptic post that made it sound to me like a guy who's leaving Baltimore. And I don't know if that's true or not, but clearly this has gone sideways a bit. Again, I – absolutely do not buy that his absence of the playoffs is anything but the knee, but the future with him and the Ravens certainly looks shaky. And boy, that's a really interesting one around this league. If Lamar Jackson, and of course, you know, there's the tag, there's a lot of different ways this could go, but I think it is very possible he's somewhere else.
Well, we could have a few weeks of Brady to the Titans or maybe Lamar to the Titans discussion. Who knows?
Is tomorrow Lamar to the Titans day? Today was Brady to the Titans day.
I'm just saying.
And then Rodgers is the day after that.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe. We'll just have to keep it rolling. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.